Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with me, Sherwin Hughes. Prosperity says, Sherwin, we listen to you. Yourself admitted that you go to strip clubs, yet we still listen to you. Hey, not a lot. I don't go all the time. You can't go all the time. It's not good for you. It's only on a rare occasion, like a birthday or a Friday. Fridays are rare. They only come once a week. Maybe that's not rare. That means there's 52 Fridays in a year. But you know what I'm saying. No judgment. I'm not judging anybody on what they do. People do way weirder stuff. Wait a minute. Somebody's talking about nurses in the YouTube chat. Way worse than any OnlyFans model you'll ever find, by the way. By 1,000%. There's a meme that has made its way across the internet, I don't know, 50,000,000 times. And it shows a picture of very scantily clad young women wearing very, very short skirts and dresses and very, very high heels. And then right next to it is a picture of young women wearing scrubs in a hospital setting. And it said, there's only one group of whores in this photograph. And that's, you don't use that word. That's, you don't say that. Body count doesn't matter.
And that's the truth.
It doesn't. Women can do whatever they like. And if body count doesn't matter for men, it doesn't matter for women. If there is a lock that can be opened by any key, that's not a very good lock. But if there is a key that can open many locks, that, I believe, is the master. But don't listen to me. I'm just a humble servant of Jesus. Just a regular old guy just trying to make it. You know what I mean? I'm a squirrel trying to get a nut. That's all. I call it like I see it, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I do. I'm just a regular old person like anybody else. Someone says, good day, Zen Master. I'm not the Zen Master, but I do want to share with you the specific language of something I was talking about yesterday. It's an old proverb, and it's called We'll See. It's also a cautionary tale, and it has survived throughout the ages. And I think it's very applicable right now to all the things that we are going through and all the things that are currently happening. And it starts by saying, on his 16th birthday, a boy gets a horse as a present. And all the people in the village say, oh, how wonderful. The Zen master says, we'll see. We'll see. One day the boy is riding his horse and gets thrown off of said horse and hurts his leg. He is no longer able to walk. So all the villagers say, how terrible. How terrible. The Zen master says, we'll see. We'll see. Some time passes and the village goes to war. All of the other young men get sent off to fight, but the boy who got the horse as a present can't fight because his leg is messed up. And all the villagers say, how wonderful. How wonderful. And the Zen master says, we'll see. We'll see. The message behind this story is pretty clear. We are prone to jump to conclusions about whether something is good or bad. We are especially quick to label something as bad. The reality is that things can be either good or bad, both good and bad, or neither. Because a tragedy happens. Oh, it's so terrible. But then there could be a turn of events and a switching of fortunes, and what was once a tragedy might turn out to be a blessing in disguise. A woman may get pregnant and she is not ready to have a child, and she may not be in a very stable relationship with the man, and she might even be unemployed. Oh my goodness, what is she going to do? How terrible that she got pregnant, this unplanned pregnancy. She doesn't know where she's going to live. She can't provide for this child. She certainly can't count on the father. Oh my God, how terrible. But then as time goes on, she figures it out and she gets her life together, and then she comes to find out that having that child was the best thing that ever could have happened to her, and it got her life on a much more righteous path. And then the villagers will say, how wonderful. You never know, ladies and gentlemen. So it has recently been revealed that, and maybe it's not that big of a deal. I'm just going to, if I get information, I'm going to provide it to you. And it's not that big of a deal. Let me check the YouTube poll because I just wanted to get an assessment of things. You know, there's this website called OnlyFans. It's actually an application as well where you can subscribe to all sorts of different kinds of content creators. There's even people that are like, they test drive cars. And they rate and review automobiles on OnlyFans. And then there are a lot of OnlyFans accounts are dedicated to cooking and recipes. And how do you make quick meals? And how do you feed a family of five for less than $10 a meal? It's all sorts of different content. But OnlyFans didn't become popular until adult content creators saw it as a way in which they can have a direct relationship and interaction with people that are subscribing to their content. And there's a lot of X-rated content on OnlyFans, but there's also a lot of X-rated content that's just available on the internet. But what it does is it incentivizes and monetizes people to subscribe to a particular content creator if you want to interact with them, send them messages, you know, and get pictures sent to you directly, et cetera, et cetera. Quite honestly, it's a wonderful business plan, especially for very lonely men that aren't doing too well out on the dating scene. You see, they can, you know, talk to this woman on OnlyFans and they pay a nominal dollar amount per month. It's very rarely expensive, which is something that I never quite understood, because when you upload photographs and videos of yourself in very adult situations, like, those things exist forever. But a lot of people are very short-sighted with things. That's why I never really understood the fad of tattoos. One day tattoos will not be in style because there was a period of time when they weren't. And we, of course, will revert back to that because everything like that is cyclical. Here's the thing about the tattoos. I mean, people have gotten tattoos since 10,000 BC. It's not new, but a lot of times they would be hidden. You couldn't see them. They were on, on the back or maybe on the upper part of the arm, where if somebody was wearing even a short sleeve shirt, you would be none the wiser that they were all inked up, or they would put their tattoos in very inconspicuous spots where they could very easily be hidden. Because, you know, I would like to think that tattoos are very personal. Something about you, something about your life, maybe an experience that you went through, and you want to remember that experience forever by getting yourself all inked up. And I will admit, some tattoos are absolutely beautiful. Oh, my goodness, the artistry and the coloring of some of the tattoos and the patience you have to have. It takes a long time to do some of those tattoos. You might have several 5 or 6 hour sessions to complete that back piece. It's really a serious commitment. And shout out to those people that want to tell their story with body art. But one day you might regret it, and there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do about it. But this is the one that gets me. Face tattoos. And they vary. There are some where it's just a little bit right by the cheek, or maybe just a little teardrop. If you ever come across somebody with a teardrop tattooed on their face, don't argue with them. Trust me, don't. If they're angry and upset, just cede the point to them. Just like, okay, you got it. You don't want to mess around with someone with a teardrop tattoo on their face. But then there's the people that have, especially, and this is a sure one opinion, and I know that everybody won't agree with this. a really beautiful woman who has just put tattoos all over her face. I just feel so sad because even if you get a tattoo removed, I've seen what a removed tattoo looks like. It's a scar. You're probably better off just leaving the tattoo or covering it up with another bigger tattoo. Yeah, have you all ever met somebody with somebody else's name tattooed on their body? You ever met somebody like that? I know someone who has two people's names tattooed on her body. Again, a cautionary tale, but you don't have to listen to me. I want you all to follow your heart. If you believe that it's a really good idea to get this person's name tattooed on your left butt cheek, meaning when you wear a swimsuit, everybody's going to see Jose Alvarez. If you love Jose Alvarez, then you get that name tattooed on your butt cheek. Get it. I support you in your love for Jose Alvarez. But boy, oh boy, I sure hope the relationship lasts because that ink certainly does. I just never. There also seems to be a common thread amongst tattoos. If you get someone's name tattooed on your body, I mean, you clearly really like them. They're very nice to you. They take you out to the Olive Garden. They take you to Taco Bell. You know, that's worthy, I guess, of getting somebody's name permanently tattooed on your body. But the commonality that I have seen is that those relationships, for some reason, they never work out. I don't know. I just would think that you would take the cautionary tale of everyone who's ever gotten someone's name tattooed. I told a story once about my friend who was involved with a lady for many years. They appeared to like each other. I mean, they had some problems, but a lot of relationships can experience problems. But that's when you come together as a couple, because when there's a problem in the relationship, it should be the two people in the relationship against the problem, not two people in the relationship against one another, right? You attack that problem like a couple, and you resolve it like a couple. It's very, very simple when you think about it. So they decided that they were going to get each other's names tattooed on each other's bodies. Okay, this was a very good idea that they came up with because, I mean, they thought they were going to be together forever. So why not? If you know you're going to be with somebody for the rest of your natural life, well, then what's the tattooed name? It's no big deal. You're going to be with them, and you want to show the world that this is who you are in love with, and this is the person you're going to be with forever. So they go to the tattoo parlor. They make an appointment, of course. And then my friend, who's a guy, he goes first. And he gets her name tattooed on his left pectoral muscle. Right on his chest right here. Not too big, but not too small either. And he has the tattoo. He gets up from the chair. And the tattoo artist is like, okay, your turn. Guess what she said? I changed my mind. Yet another cautionary tale from The Truth with Sherwin Hughes exclusively on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because you know when you're fully protected, your home, your vehicle, and everything you worked hard to build, you can actually enjoy it, and that's what it's all about. Not stressing the what-ifs, but moving forward with confidence. American Family agents help you get the right coverage in place so you can focus on your family, your goals, and the dreams that you have earned. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of 101.7 The Truth. Come to find out that Francesca Hong's communication director has an OnlyFans account. I don't even care. It's very nice, though. It's free if you want to just take a gander. So there's no financial commitment. And shout out to her. She's, you know, a liberated woman. Women can do whatever the hell they want. Linda has some very colorful commentary in the YouTube chat. Linda says body count matters. No, it doesn't, Linda. You're being oppressive. People can do whatever they want to do. Body count doesn't matter. Who cares? Nobody cares about that. You can do whatever you want. You can't tell somebody what to do. I think if there's a difference, and of course these standards are set by society or whatever society is, it does not take all that much effort for a woman to sexually select a man. She can just choose. Women choose. And that's how our biology is set up. That's how we are set up as a species. Women get to make that choice. In fact, if men are overbearing and if they take that choice away from a woman, he can get put in prison for the rest of his life. So we take very seriously women's ability to choose who their sexual partners are. And it's entirely up to them. They can choose whomever they want. Now, the risks also to a woman are much higher because there is pregnancy, and pregnancy, if complicated and difficult, can kill the woman. She also can die in childbirth. And also, more often than not, that child, even though there was a man involved in creating that child, it is oftentimes going to be her responsibility. So the risk is very high. Now, there's a whole bunch of birth control. And in fact, there are more types of birth control for women than there are for men, because the risk is so incredibly high when it comes to women and their sexual partners, okay? Not to mention some of the other unintended consequences. But for a man to have sexual partners, he has to be something. He has to have money, fame, celebrity, dashing, good looks, because women are hypergamous. And you can look up the statistics from dating apps. 90% of the women are only interacting with 10% of the men. It's why women are drawn to very wealthy men and drawn to very professional athletes that have fame and have notoriety. They all want the best they can possibly get. And if a woman is going to sleep with a man with reproduction maybe being the end result, why would she want to be with the lowest caliber, the lowest tier of man? She should shoot for the top because she can. She is supposed to be sexually selective, you see. Men, we sleep with who we can. We just try our best, and we'll go out and we'll get our hair cut, put on brand new clothes, looking good. We just whitened our teeth and still come home empty-handed. A woman can go to the damn grocery store in a ripped T-shirt and some dirty sweatpants and get laid in the parking lot. It's very, very different. So when you say body count doesn't matter, the playing field is not level. Let's talk to someone who I think knows about the playing field. Hello, Al. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. First thing I want to say, as long as she got gripping power and her lips doesn't look like raw chitlins, she'll be fine. Number two, only thing men have to do, they don't have to try their best. They got to do their best. Because if the stroke game is trash, she ain't going to be around too long anyway, because she's going to be highly frustrated.
But doesn't he have to be something substantial for him to even get in that situation with a woman? Because women are very select. Well, most are very selective in who they sleep with. Like, that man has got to be something substantial, or at least better than the other men she had to choose from.
Either he's going to have some finesse, and if he don't have no finesse, he's going to have to pay for that kitty cat. It's going to be either first option or the second option. The third option is you're just going to have your hand. So it's going to be one or two. That's it. Not unless she give her life the crash and she choose the saddle, and then she go with any old thing. But don't nobody, that ain't going to last anyway, because that's a relationship on pity. But it's either going to be one or two. The other thing I wanted to share with the women, too, the word on the street that a lot of Arabic men feel you're easy to sleep with, but they won't marry you. So I was going to tell to the black women, when you get with these Arabic men, you let them know that chocolate cupcake needs gas station money. any cell phone store money, okay, any mortgage money. Because what they know is that a lot of black women look at them, their skin color, and think they're going to have a pretty baby. And they also notice, too, that a lot of black women will try to take them on date. Black women, don't try to take no man who got money on date. You're the commodity.
Al, is that a popular thing that Arabic men are dating black women?
Arabic men been loving to date black women. They love to F them, but they say they will never marry you. So what happens is the black woman be like, oh, I got me an Arabic. So she going to go on and just give him all that cash, and he's going to go to the non-deserving one. So I tell black women, get you a gas station out of it. Sometimes you have to treat them like their bottom barrel, because y'all be building their head, y'all be building them up too high. You can get the richest person to give you money if you let them know, I don't care how much money you got, you still ain't sugar, honey, iced tea, and that will make them want to give you money more. But black women have a habit of, you want some of this good old cookie cutter cat? Run me some money. What's your name? Mortgage. Oh, I've been thinking about a cell phone store. Stop giving that cat up to them Arabic men.
But Al, isn't that prostitution if she's going to require some kind of finances or payment for the kookah?
Absolutely not. It's like bartering. I mean, or you could be like Jesus, Mama Mary.
Oh, no.
Have your cherry pop when she was 13. And you know if his daddy was around, he'd be in the DA database for child molesters and sex offenders. We don't want black women to go out like that. We want black women to get everything that they are entitled to, because they always blame for something. They put down for something. Everybody want to make jokes about black women until they ready to get that nut and get them balls drained. So I say to all black women, you mess with an Arabic, get you a gas station.
But what about black men? What about us, Al? What do we deserve? We deserve something, too.
Mr. Hughes, black men is okay. They okay. Y'all going to mess with black women regardless. But we talking about the Arabic men, the Indian men, who have access to assets and financial gain. Now, I love my brothers, but like you, Mr. Hughes, you know, a lot of our brothers are kind of like very cheap. They feel like if they give $5, they done gave $5,000. If the woman says she want to get new tires, they'll tell her go buy used tires. If she says she going to get her a new car, they'll tell her, well, why do that when you go buy your used car? You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Hughes. So all I'm saying for the black women, you got to get the best that you can with your vagina.
Whoa.
Point blank.
What about her brains and her intelligence? Can't she get the best with that?
She sure can, but she got to open her own business. She has to understand that she's a commodity. She's exotic. Anywhere she go in the world, people are going to be captivated by her mind, her energy, her body, and that big fat moose knuckle. But a lot of people are making jokes about black women saying they're easy catch. Okay, well, since I'm an easy catch, I'm going to use my cat to get everything from you. Point, but look at what do white women do? What do white women do?
I don't know.
Tell me. What do they do to the football players? All they got to do is just get, and they get marriage, mansions, don't even do nothing. Just got a flat ass walk around here and let them run over them. But the black woman going to get looked past. So I feel like, hey, if you're going to condemn the black woman, she might as well be a business. What did your great grandmamas tell you? So that's all I'm going to say. Black women, stop giving your cat up to them Arabic men. Get your money first. So if they can talk about you, they'll feel good talking about you when you sitting in that house up in River Hills, Bayside, or you got that gas station, or he got you in oil because he feel that Punani is worth it. You have to understand, Mr. Hughes, a lot of men is dumb when it comes to a good nut.
Oh, that's true.
You know what I mean? And then when you have like, you know, men that are non-black,
yes,
they will go all out the way. But black women got to stop giving it up so fast. Make them work for it. Make them earn it. Yes. Matter of fact, let them lick it, but not stick it. And then when they come through with that financial gain in them portfolios, then
what
you
mean,
set it out. And then what you do, You spend his money and you stack your money. So when he get time and he say, well, I think we should go our separate ways, you can say, oh, good. You already got your LLC. Your money is already stacked and you can live a better life and get another house built from the ground.
Okay. That's very good advice.
Have a good day, everybody.
Okay. You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Okay. I just want to remind everybody to get ready because 101 The 7 The Truth, Truth Family Fest is back. Join us on Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Riverside High School for free back-to-school resources, live entertainment, family activities, and community fun. Vendors and sponsors can reserve a spot by visiting truthfamilyfest.com or email Sierra Brown at Milwaukee Black Media. That is Sierra.Brown at Milwaukee Black Media. Sierra.Brown at Milwaukee Black Media. So we hope Al's going to be at Truth Family Fest. He's easy to find. If he's there, you'll be able to find him. So come on out to Truth Family Fest and meet Al. Get an autograph. Shake his hand. And get some very good dating advice, especially black women. I thought we were having a real good conversation today. And then all of a sudden it just devolved. Let's take a break, shall we? You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
What a day. Gerald. Hello, Gerald. How are you doing today? Do you have some advice for us?
No, some concerns I think we need to address, though, really look at, like, how effective are black politicians right now with this issue with, like...
Wait a minute. Hold on, wait. Gerald, you sound very familiar.
You know, the issues since January 6th, you had those politicians get, those lawmakers when they were doing the voting map things, you know, they were escorted out the building and everything like that. And then you saw them performing this rage and everything, like social media, you know, it highlights and everything. That's what everybody's doing stuff for. That's why I'm kind of concerned with politics right now. So publicity and highlights. You sit down and ask them for something tangible. You know, nobody can really say anything. Just like, you know, playing on the hearts, emotions of people, because, you know, we've all felt some type of way, but it is kind of rude and sensitive at the same time. How do you take some things like, you know, not feeling welcomed or genocide on the chin? Versus, like, you know, these grudges or anything. Because I've also noticed, like, police brutality has, you know, like, kind of changed a little bit. People are being punched, and the change happened so quick, people didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Did you even notice that?
No.
People were being punched. Like, how many people were shot since 2025 by
a
police officer?
That's really terrible. It is.
But compared to 2019, pre-2020, the rate. And then you have this situation with this generational culture clash, the brutality babies you see in the WNBA, you know.
What's a brutality baby? Caitlin Clark. What's that?
You know, people who grew up, you know, 2010s, pre-2020, you know, with all the stuff, you know, Tamera Rice, Trayvon Martins, and, you know, the list goes on and everything like that, you know. Seeing these kids, you know, they were on their phones were their babysitters during the pandemic and everything too. Their phones provided the entertainment attention, kept their attention and everything. So they saw this brutality stuff, the protests, the media, you know, this fear of the police that's causing these kids today to be all, or these people today to be extra, you know, combative and on edge and everything, when most of the time it's just basic communication and submission pretty much. But, you know, people kind of struggle with dominance and everything. But interesting question, like, you know, let's say, you know, America really is going to hell. And, you know, simple question, like, you know, I was kind of concerned with the Southern politicians, you know, after January 6th and everything, how would you even delegate or, you know, even be a professional with this kind of energy and ideology around with genocides and ICE and, you know, raiding
capital.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad these days. It's very sad.
Like, so what would be a good way to go about this? Like, would you rather feel like an OnlyFans model? You got your social media, and then they sprinkle money on you, and then, you know, 50 years later, people didn't manage your money right, and then there's no excuse or sympathy for them. Like, what's the issue with reparations that has people so afraid or controversial? Why is that such a difficult situation or topic to discuss, even for Black politicians in today's age?
Your guess is as good as mine. We should be discussing reparations every single day because we need to get repaired.
Well, you know, with like money. You know, it's like we got to do something with violence and vulgarity too. Just messing with the egos and mind frames of people.
Yep.
You know, somebody can do something wrong, and you can ask them straight up, like, "Hey, could you correct your behavior?" Like, "No, I'm not gonna listen to you." N word. Okay. And then you piece them up real decent, like, and then they won't even understand what they did wrong, but they got whoopings growing up. That's what I mean. Whoopings are killing adults. The people can't respect each other and communicate like they got. Like, they perceive to have some kind of intelligence, right?
Have you ever been called the N-word before, Gerald? Gerald?
Yes.
Yes, you've been called the N-word before? Who called you the N-word? Did you get mad at him?
You know, people use it all the time, Black, white, whatever. In home, like, people use it more, a little bit more responsibly than Black people do, than we do.
Have you ever been called the N-word in a derogatory and mean way?
Not in a very long time.
Okay. What would you do if somebody called you the N-word? What would you do if I called you the N-word?
I would ask you a question. How would you expect me to, you know, handle you after that?
I don't know. You want to find out?
I'm past the petty ego pissing contest. You know, I'm in my adult male situation right here, and, like, you know, you can come over here and ask me a question if you want to, since you know so much.
Ooh. All right, then. I'll come over and ask you a question. I just want to know what you do if I called you the N-word. Would you get angry? Would you hang up? Would you want to call me a name? How would you respond?
No. But, you know, that's kind of like the issue with people and everything, too.
Yeah, what's the
like,
issue?
Just this issue of this word that is a word people use the same way. And there's abundance of pride and lack thereof. So it's really messed up our priorities and, you know, sense of, I don't know, self-respect or respect. Because, you know, I don't know what's causing all this tension when people use this word, they express themselves. And then, like, the last thing you hear before you get shot is, the N-word.
That's terrible. All right, Gerald. You know, I appreciate
you. So could you use some of your radio influence to get a hold of somebody and say, hey, we got to really do something about the violence and vulgarity in hip-hop?
Yeah, sure. I think that if I use my radio influence, hip-hop would longer be
you got
violent.
Friends, you got, well, I don't know, you got friends and celebrities and whatnot. I don't know. I may be a little effort other than, like, you know.
All right. What should I tell them?
Wasting time. Like I said, we really got to do something about the violence and vulgarity in hip hop.
Okay.
Like, there was that meeting in the 90s when they made hip hop style the way it is with all the violence and vulgarity. There was an actual meeting.
So you want me to fix the violence in hip hop with my celebrity friends and use my radio influence to do it? I'll do it.
Get on CNN. Get on CNN and do it.
Hell yeah, I will.
All right.
All right, then. Thank you. Gerald?
Are you out of your damn mind?
Yeah.
Still there?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Black women using their bodies to get whatever they want financially?
I understand the practicality of their sexuality.
Yeah.
It's practical, but at the same time, you know, it could be damaging to their self-esteem or, you know, how they perceive men.
Okay.
Because, you know, you might perceive every man as just some pig or anything like that, just looking, you know, for pleasure. And then they don't want to objectify themselves, yet that they're objectifying themselves. So it's like this crazy contradiction and everything that, you know, causing mental stress and everything. Like, you know, you lay down with somebody you're not attracted to for financial gain, and then you know, you see a stud or something, you know, who don't have everything, and then it's just like, okay, well, I want to give them some, but I'm so used to things being transactional. I don't know how to, you know, really
what?
Even deal with a man.
So have you ever, when was the last time, I shouldn't ask you that, have you ever paid for a date with a woman? Like, you asked her out to dinner, maybe you went to the movies and you paid. Have you ever done that before?
You know, if you're asking somebody to spend time with you, that should be a no-brainer. Like, you know, well, you know,
yeah, but you got to do something. They might want to do an activity, and activities are not always free. Have you ever paid for a date before?
Like, been out on a date and, like, you know, yeah. Like,
Where'd you go?
What was the last date I've been on? I think I went to a restaurant.
Oh, okay. Did you have fun?
I'm, like, doing that.
Did you have fun when you went on the date?
You know, I did go out on a date, and I went out to a rural area. I was in a rural area, actually, and I walked in, and there's, like, this curiosity and excitement, you know, with Black people. That's what a lot of it is, kind of an obsession. And, like, you know, people were kind of, like, you know, heckling and saying stuff and everything like that. And if you got really defensive and everything, being a woman of non-color.
Wait, you went to a rural place with a white lady?
Yeah.
Oh, God, tell us more. Do you still talk to her?
No.
What happened?
Like, I don't know. Like, people have some habits, and then, like, you know, you get close, and they want to live in ecstasy and bliss. And, you know, it's not really like in the cards for feeling like, you know, we can't be strung out and drunk in love all day.
Yeah, you can. That's fun. Being strung out and drunk in love, that's wonderful. So what happened to the white lady? You just walked away from her? You broke up with her?
No, we weren't together long. We were just kind of like just filling each other out.
Okay.
Like, you know,
and it didn't work out.
The people who do drugs and everything.
Oh, she did drugs.
Yeah, like she had some acid issues or something. You know.
I got drugs in my booty.
I don't know if she's bliss. I don't know. I don't know what that is. Like, you tell somebody you don't want to do. So I'm not interested.
I'm glad you have standards and boundaries, though. That's good for you.
To the point where I'm kind of concerned because, you know, I see the confusion in the youth, the wise, and then I see the complacency and the fear and the trauma in the elders, and then the defense mechanism that's also, like, you know, just counterproductive and defeating us. Like, I saw the young man and the old guy fight next to the young girl on Fond du Lac.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you. Gerald, you've given us a lot of food for thought today.
I don't know what this Black Talk Radio, now that Diddy the Block was done, like, you know, what the hell was that? But have a nice day.
All right, Gerald. You still there? Gerald, you're still on the phone. Gerald, I still see you.
I'm sorry. I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling with this.
What are you struggling
with?
Hong
concept. Hong concept, too.
Why?
So interested.
Are you going to vote for her? Are you going to vote for the Hong concept?
I'm not sure. We're not even sure she's going to be, like, you know, the choice.
Yeah,
like,
she,
you know, anything can change.
Okay.
You know, like the Hassan, you know, he has some controversy, and then being an immigrant and, you know,
okay, all right.
Identity politics and things.
You're not going to tell us about dating white women in rural areas, and I think that we have to end this call because that's what we want to hear about.
I don't know. It's not that taboo, and I'm not that traumatized. That's usually what I say. I want to break the ice.
Break the ice by playing in the snow. All right, that's fine. Okay, Gerald.
It's not that taboo to me, and I'm not that traumatized. Hi, what's your name? I don't know.
All right, then. Well, good luck to you. I hope everything works out for you. All right, we'll see you later, Gerald. You're still on the phone! Gerald?
Yeah. Violence and vulgarity out of hip-hop. I need you to, like, you know.
All right, I'm gonna
let your connection know.
I'll take care of it.
Like, okay,
I will take care of it.
And then exposure, and these children need to expose how people treat them too. Okay. Like, I've been stressing that. Like, when they walk into a place, they need to be recorded how they received. Like, okay.
That's right.
So you go anywhere.
Anywhere.
Go anywhere. You walk into somebody mean mug you when you walk through the door. Is that going to make you feel comfortable or enjoy providing patronage for this place?
No, it won't.
Okay.
All right, Gerald. You take care. Have a good day now. Make sure to register and vote.
People are kind of complacent. It's kind of getting silly when it's like, okay, there's a path.
Gerald, I'm trying to land the plane here, buddy. I'm trying to get off the phone with you without being rude. Have a good day.
You hang up at any time.
You hang up! Gerald! Gerald.
He's gone.
Oh,
now.
He's gone. Oh.
You better stop playing with that man.
I'm not. That was Gerald. I've never talked to him before.
Oh, you haven't talked to
him? No, I don't know. Gerald is his first time caller, a long time listener.
Oh, that voice didn't sound familiar to you?
A lot of voices sound familiar to me. In fact, after you've been doing this for many, many years, they all kind of sound the same.
All right. Just don't get John Lennon.
I was deciding on whether I was going to do a Hughes Views 414 podcast, because I usually like to take the midweek day off and just rest, because doing two shows a day, it can be kind of like, I think we might go hot tonight. I think so. I don't know yet. I don't know. I might have to go hot tonight. Cause
was it hot last night?
You called.
Oh, did I?
Unnecessarily. But all right, you called.
It was a good, I thought it was a good call. Just delivering some medicine.
Read the comments, because people.
Comments doesn't really matter.
The comments were aimed at you direct. Some might have been more productive than others, but all right, fair enough.
You think I'm really worried about these people?
No, not at all. You're not worried about much. I think we all need to be worried about Gerald, though, because Gerald took a white woman to a rural area and it didn't. The truth with Sherwood Hughes will be right back.
I got drugs in my booty.
Oh, that was different.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Lady B says, I'm too shy to call in. Oh, please. You can call this radio show and don't even have to have anything to say. We'll just find something to talk about. It doesn't even matter who you are. It doesn't even matter what your name is, where you're from, your race, your gender, your political affiliation. We take all the calls. Hey, first of all, I resent that comment that was just typed in the YouTube chat. I did not waste any of that time talking to Gerald. We found out a lot. I now have another task that I must complete. I've got to get the profanity and the vulgarity and the violence out of hip hop by using my radio platform. So I'm going to go ahead and take on that task. Because I'm going to start with Nitty. What exactly is bow anyway? You need to clarify that, what that song means. Because every time I hear that song, I see his ass is shaking. Tired of ass is shaking. Just tired of it.
It's about love. Yeah, about black love.
What kind of black love?
I like her. I want to wife her. You know the rest.
Sounds like a formula for single motherhood. So Francesca Hong is leading in the polls. Come to find out that either her deputy campaign manager or maybe it's her communications director does have an OnlyFans account, which we don't care. It's free though if you want to check it out. So it doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't. David Crowley is quoted in an article wishing that his endorsement by Tony Evers would have come a little sooner. Yeah, probably would have helped, like last September. Quote, the governor has his own opinions, just like all my supporters and all of the supporters of different candidates have their own opinions, said Crowley. 34% of Democratic primary voters remain undecided, but 36% of Democratic primary voters say Evers' endorsement makes them more likely to support Crowley. When I look at the polls, it shows we are the leading candidate that can ultimately defeat Tom Tiffany, said Crowley. With less than a week before the election, Crowley says he's focused on making his own case to Wisconsinites. He says, I'm going to be quite honest with you, man. I'm not paying attention to anyone else's policies, said Crowley. The Democratic primary for governor will be held on August 11th. Bernie Sanders, United States Senator, is the highest elected office ever held by an openly self-described Democratic Socialist in U.S. history. Sanders has served in the U.S. Senate since 2007, serving 16 years in the House of Representatives and 8 years as mayor of Burlington, Vermont. He remains the highest-ranking federal elected official to openly identify as a Democratic Socialist. Number two, Zoran Mamdani, mayor of New York City. If considering executive offices, Mamdani is arguably the highest profile executive office ever won by an openly Democratic Socialist. As mayor of America's largest city, population of 8.5 million, he oversees a budget larger than many U.S. states. He became the first openly Democratic Socialist elected to mayor of New York City. Members of the U.S. House of Representatives, several openly Democratic Socialist members have served in Congress, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Greg Cesar, Summer Lee, and Cori Bush. These officials have generally been affiliated with or endorsed by Democratic Socialists of America while serving as Democrats in Congress. Historically, several elected officials held office as members of the old Socialist Party. Victor L. Berger became the first socialist elected to Congress in 1910. Milwaukee famously elected socialist mayors during the early 20th century, earning the nickname sewer socialists. Has an openly Democratic socialist ever been president? No. Vice president? No. Governor? No. U.S. Senator? Yes. Bernie Sanders. Cabinet secretary in a presidential administration? No. Mayor of the largest city? Yes. Zoran Mamdani. So by constitutional rank, Bernie Sanders' position as a U.S. senator is the highest elected office ever held by an openly self-described Democratic Socialist in the United States. By executive prominence, Zoran Mamdani election as mayor of New York City represents the highest profile municipal office ever won by an openly Democratic Socialist. Thank you for listening. Lunch break is up next.